Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, in the news. We have a number of short little items here. Clueless leaders, people who pick themselves to run workplace teams, do worse than those chosen by lottery, says a study from the National Bureau of Economic Research. It found groups headed by often overconfident self-promoters performed as if they had a boss with a measurably lower IQ. CDC, older Americans need RSV vaccine. If you are 75 or older, or 60 to 74 with chronic health problems, such as heart or lung disease, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says you should get an RSV vaccine by early fall. This is a change from last year when the CDC was less urgent about the vaccine before RSV season and only advised people 60 and older to ask their doctors whether the vaccine for RSV, respiratory syncytial disease, was right for them. For most people, RSV typically causes cold-like symptoms. In young children and older adults, however, an infection can be dangerous, even deadly. Adults with chronic heart or lung disease and those with weakened immune systems are also at high risk for complications from an infection. The virus can cause pneumonia and worsen conditions such as asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The CDC estimates that RSV sends as many as 160,000 older Americans to the hospital annually, and as many as 10,000 older adults die each year from an RSV infection. By comparison, during the 2021-22 flu season, 52,872 adults 65 and older were hospitalized with influenza, and 4,115 died. My Social Security users may face account changes. If you are one of the millions of older Americans who track your benefits and request services through a personalized Social Security account, you may need to change your login procedure or risk losing your account. The Social Security Administration, SSA, announced this summer that users who set up My Social Security accounts before September 18, 2021, will be required to transition those accounts to login.gov, a secure sign-in service administered by the federal government. The change will simplify your sign-in experience and align My Social Security with federal authentication standards while providing safe and secure access to online services, Social Security says. About 46 million people who have My Social Security accounts will be affected, according to an SSA spokesperson. My Social Security is free and available to anyone 18 or older who has a Social Security number and a valid email address. It's useful for getting estimates of future benefits, replacing a lost Social Security card, and other services. Now we have promising gains in Alzheimer's fight. FDA finds new drug effective. Another drug has joined the arsenal of Alzheimer's treatments. The Food and Drug Administration approved a medication brand named Kinsula after it proved effective in clinical trials when used by people with the early stages of the disease. The trial data demonstrated convincingly that Kinsula reduces the rate of cognitive and functional decline in patients in the mild cognitive impairment and mild dementia stages of Alzheimer's disease, said Teresa Baraccio, a director in the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, in a statement. Donanemab, Kinsula's medical name, joins similar drug Leqembi as sanctioned treatments for the disease that afflicts nearly 7 million older Americans. One difference? Kinsula is given by intravenous infusion once a month. Leqembi has a twice-a-month regimen. Researchers found that the medication was especially effective in slowing the loss of thinking and memory skills in people in the earlier stages of the disease. Kinsula helped to remove a protein called amyloid from the brain. In people with the disease, amyloid forms sticky plaques that disrupt normal cell function. Jagan Pillai, MD, an Alzheimer's researcher at the Cleveland Clinic, called this drug approval a huge impetus to the field, mostly because it gives patients a range of therapeutic options. Kinsula's maker, Eli Lilly, priced the drug at $32,000 a year, higher than Leqembi's $26,500 annual list price. Out-of-pocket expenses will depend on your insurance. Medi-Cal will cover FDA-approved Alzheimer's treatments for some patients who work with a healthcare provider who participates in a registry to collect information on the medication. And finally in this section, blood tests seen as highly accurate. A blood test is about 90% accurate in diagnosing Alzheimer's disease in people experiencing problems thinking and remembering, says a study by a team of Swedish researchers published in the medical journal JAMA. The blood test and others like it are not widely available to patients, but they could be soon. That would be a revolutionary change, says Paul Newhouse, MD, director for the Center of Cognitive Medicine at Vanderbilt University. When making an Alzheimer's diagnosis, doctors rely on a patchwork of physical and cognitive tests and brain scans or invasive spinal taps. A highly effective blood test would save a lot of time and money, Newhouse says. A faster diagnosis could also improve access to new Alzheimer's treatments that are approved for patients in the early to mild stages of the disease. Research presented at the Alzheimer's Association 2024 conference this summer suggests that an accurate blood test could slash the wait time for these treatments by several years. Our next article is from AARP, the magazine. My mom died, then came the ordeal. This is under the Money Saver section. As an executor, I faced hassle over hassle. Here's how you can avoid them. When my mother asked me to be her executor, I thought I knew what that would entail. Gather up the money in her accounts, dole it out as directed by her will, and tie up other loose ends. My mother had been my father's executor when he died, and the process had seemed straightforward. I imagined that this sad task would take less than a year. I was wrong. It's been nearly 2 years since my mother died, and I'm still not done. Mom did many things right. She had a will, a power of attorney, and a health care power of attorney. She let me know who should get certain items after her death. Her estate was not complex. Still, it's been an exhausting cascade of notarized forms, phone calls, faxes, and difficulties. But I've learned a lot about how my mother and I could have made this easier. Whether you're doing your own estate planning or you're in line to be an executor one day, I have lessons for you. Prepare for the cost of dying. Most funeral and burial costs can be covered by a person's estate, but belatedly. When a loved one dies, you have to pay up quickly, and if there's money in the estate, get reimbursed later. I had 2 days to hand over $17,500 for Mom's funeral, wake, and casket because the funeral home required upfront payment and didn't take credit cards. They suggested a company that lends money for funerals, but those lenders might charge 30% interest or demand your car's title as collateral. Luckily, my siblings and I could afford the $25,000 total cost of Mom's funeral and associated expenses without borrowing. Life and Death Lesson 1. It would have been great if Mom had set up a joint bank account with me so I could access the money for the funeral. Next, get ready for more upfront expenses. When you're the executor, companies will let you report the death, but they won't share account balances or make any transitions unless you have letters, testamentary, legal proof of your authority to act on behalf of the estate. So, until you probate the will and obtain letters, testamentary, you have to pay the estate's bills with your own funds, assuming you have any. In New Jersey, where Mom died, it took nearly 6 weeks to get the letters and another 4 to get access to her accounts, during which time I paid her bills, power, property taxes, and more out of my own pocket. Life and death lesson 2? Here again, a joint account with Mom would have helped. Your bank may drive you nuts. Upon receiving my letters, testamentary, I needed to open an estate checking account for receiving money owed the estate and paying its expenses. This was easy at PNC Bank, where Mom had a savings account. Things didn't go so well at Capital One, where Mom had bank accounts, a credit card, and a car loan. First, the bank accounts. At Mom's local branch, an employee scanned the death certificate and my letters, testamentary, and I filled out a form indicating how I wanted to receive the money. I was told that the estate department, which had no number I could call, would be in touch. Then came weeks of back-and-forth communication, a request from the bank for more information or another form, my response, a 5-day delay, then another request. When, after nearly 2 weeks of silence, I still hadn't received the money, I wrote to say I would be filing a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the New Jersey Attorney General. That got me a speedy and classic response. The check was in the mail. Nearly 2 months after my visit to the bank, that check finally arrived. Meanwhile, the bank's credit card department was calling me constantly about my mother's small credit card balance. The auto loan was another source of frustration. At the time of her death, Mom's monthly payments were being automatically deducted from her checking account. When a regular payment was deducted from her account a week after she died, Capital One reversed the transaction. I tried to make the payment with my own funds, but was rejected. As soon as I received my letters, testamentary, I prepared to pay off the loan, which is when I saw the late fees for the payments never made because the bank wouldn't let me. With my record of attempted payment in hand, I protested. They removed the fees, and I paid off the car. I reached out to Capital One for comment. They now provide a phone number for the estate department, but only for help with bank and credit card accounts. You still have to call the auto loan department separately. Life and death lesson number 3. Keep detailed records of all calls and conversations with institutions you deal with. File a complaint with regulators if you are not being treated fairly. Utilities aren't easy either. Unless you are listed on an account, phone, wireless, and internet providers probably won't talk to you on the phone. They may tell you to go to one of their stores and bring a death certificate and letters testamentary, ironically, soon after I did that and got added to my mother's Verizon Fios account, I went to a store to close it, but was told I had to do that via the phone. Closing Mom's mobile plan took 3 visits to an AT&T store and happened miraculously, even though I didn't have the account password they expected me to know. Life and death lesson number 4. Get your name added to utility accounts so they are easier to manage. Paperwork can be a pain. My mother had a brokerage account at TD Ameritrade with a few stock holdings. Transferring those assets to the estate was easy. Mom also owned 4 individual stocks that she had never put in her brokerage account. These took a lot more work. The beneficiaries had to fill out a form with their tax information and address. I also had to obtain a medallion guarantee from a bank, a document confirming my identity and legal authority to transfer stock. The difficulty continued after I mailed all the documents to ComputerShare, the transfer agent for the stock. 2 weeks later, Tracking the package online, I saw it had stopped dead at a post office. ComputerShare then told me that the mailing address on their website was for an office that had been closed for some time. Luckily, the post office found the package and forwarded it to the right location. Life and death lesson number 5. Consider moving directly held stocks into a brokerage account or use a transfer on death, TOD, designation. If you're the executor, send important documents using a service that allows you to track the shipments. Now, before we go on to the next section, there is a sidebar article here. Smooth the way. More steps for making life easier for your executor and heirs. Choose a trustworthy executor who is patient, thorough, and attentive to detail. Complete a will and any funeral requests and make sure your executor can get to them. Catalog all assets and debts. Make a list of account passwords and phone passcodes. Check IRA and 401k beneficiaries. They're set in account paperwork, not your will. And the final section, well, next to the final section, is try Swedish asset death cleaning. My parents bought land in Vermont in 1975, intending to build a second home. They never did, but they never sold the land either. Since it's in another state, I had to hire a local attorney, open an ancillary estate, and find a real estate agent. The property finally sold in June. Life and death lesson number 6. Selling unused assets now will smooth things after you're gone. Consolidating financial accounts may help too. People talk about Swedish death cleaning of one's home, but no one talks about asset death cleaning. Sounds morbid, but we should do it. And finally, get ready for the feelings. One more challenge is worth mentioning. This is emotional work. Transferring the hard-earned assets my parents had accumulated over their lifetimes was sad. Turning off the cell service to a phone I had once called daily was so painful I had to put it off for months. I shed many tears as an executor, some from frustration, but most from the sadness of losing Mom. I was lucky to have a supportive wife and siblings, as well as help from an attorney. If you are an executor, don't be afraid to lean on others for help. This was by Lori Trawinski, who is the Director of Finance and Employment at the AARP Public Policy Institute. Now, next from the magazine, this is 70. A whole bunch of little bits of information. Don McLean talks about the day the music died. On February 3, 1959, I opened the newspapers and saw this news. 3 rock and roll stars killed in plane crash. It was as if a mule had kicked me in the chest. I cried. I think, sitting there looking at this, Billie Holly was my guy. I was shocked. I never forgot the power of that moment. I have always kept Buddy in my heart. The first album I made was called Tapestry. I was making that album in Berkeley, California, and there was a small riot every day we were making it. It was crazy. Things were happening in the country, and it was getting worse. We had assassinations throughout the decade. We had war in the Vietnam and rage against Nixon. Around 1970, I was in Cold Spring, New York, working on my second record, and I thought, I want to do a big song about America. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do, but I have to do this. I had my tape machine on, and this song just came out of me. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. I went right through to the day the music died. Immediately, I thought, what is that? It was like a genie had come out of a bottle. I knew that I had this wonderful thing. I had finally captured the thing that was building in me for all those years since February 3, 1959. This interview was by A.J. Baim. Now, health at 70. Rise up with confidence. I always get stuck halfway getting up out of a chair. Can that be fixed? Yes. That feeling of being stuck halfway between sitting and standing can be caused by weakness in your legs, glutes, and core, and tight muscles in your hips and lower back. We asked Jordan D. Metzi, MD, author of The Exercise Cure, for advice. Here's what he suggests. For legs and glutes, do squats. Position your feet so they are shoulder-width apart, toes slightly pointed outward, then lower your body to a squat with your tush pushing out. Pause a minute, then slowly return to a standing position. Repeat 12 times. 2. Stretch your lower back and hips. Lie on your back with your knees bent and your feet flat on the floor. Bend your right leg and rest your right ankle just above your left knee. Now reach down and grab the back of your left thigh and pull your knee gently toward your chest. Hold for 30 seconds, then release. Switch legs and repeat the stretch to target the other side of your lower back. This suggestion was by Barbara Hanna Gruferman, host of the Age Better podcast. Then let's look at 4 ways for older women to take charge. We can't count on having a romantic partner as we age. The U.S. Census says 6 in 10 women over 75 are alone. But alone or not, here's what my research says will help us age with grace. 1. Get your finances in order. Many older women admit they have regrets when it comes to money, with the biggest being that they hadn't invested more. It's never too late to learn with the help of financial experts. Start now. 2. Take charge of your health. Women should demand that their health care providers listen to their concerns and stop addressing them in condescending language. If you still believe that you're not being heard, get a second opinion or another doctor. 3. You need caregiving too. Some 19% of women between the ages of 65 and 74 need help with at least one self-care activity, according to the Institute on Aging. Start having those caregiving conversations with friends, family, and other loved ones. 4. Find a diverse friend. The older we get, the more marginalized we become in this society. Having diverse friends helps us to be better allies in the fight against ageism, racism, and sexism. This was by Vicki Larson, who is an award-winning journalist. These tips are adapted from AARP's The Ethel E. newsletter. You can subscribe to that for free at aarpethel.com. Now we have a look at the perfect fall sweater. The sun is already disappearing a little earlier each day. While we cling to the last days of summer, the leaves will soon be falling. A consolation? It's almost sweater season. Stitch Fix styling manager Sherry Tim Hendricks helps us arrive at the happy intersection where warmth meets style. Choose functionality first. Functionality is key to the amount of use a sweater will get. For example, do you want a sweater with pockets for carrying essentials like your phone and keys during autumn strolls or errand runs? Artsy buttons are nice, but not if they are hard to open and close with arthritic fingers. Necklines count. For men, a V-neck or crew neck sweater in a solid neutral color is a timeless choice. For women, a classic turtleneck can frame the face, but might feel too constricting. If so, a cowl neck might be a good compromise. Step outside your color comfort zone. Is your closet filled with black, gray, and tan clothes? Don't be afraid to explore other colors and patterns. Rich autumn hues like forest green, deep burgundy, and mustard yellow will add pop to those staples. Matcha green, anyone? And material matters. Merino wool, cashmere, or a soft cotton blend all provide insulation and breathability. These fabrics are gentle on the skin and perfect for layering as temperatures fluctuate. Nobody likes an itchy sweater. Aim for cozy. It'll be autumn before you know it. Well, it probably is by the time you hear this. Texture is still having a moment. While classic styles like cardigans, turtlenecks, and crewnecks are timeless and versatile, mixing interesting textures can keep your look updated and current. The same goes for asymmetric hems. And lastly here, estate planning. Stop stalling. You're in your 70s. You know you need to do estate planning, but psychological and emotional barriers can prevent that from happening. We ask Andy Baxley, a Chicago-based financial planner, and Joe Meyer, Director of Wealth Strategy at Johnson Financial Group, how to get started. Here we go. Change your mindset. Rather than thinking that estate planning means the end is near, think of it as a gift to loved ones. Getting your affairs in order can take some of the stress out of a difficult time for them. Make an appointment with yourself. Put estate planning tasks such as contacting an attorney or having important discussions with loved ones into your calendar. That will make it harder for you to continue to procrastinate. Then write a script. If you're worried about how to explain plans to your spouse or kids, write it down and practice. Start by laying out your intentions before getting into specifics. Lower the stakes. Estate planning can feel monumental because decisions feel final. But realize that if your circumstances change, in most cases you can alter your estate plan. Imagine the afterglow. Many people enjoy peace of mind after they finish their estate plan, knowing that they've made important and often difficult decisions. And this bit of information was from Beth Braverman. Well, we have a little bit of time left for some more tips on saving money from AARP The Bulletin. Hit the movies midweek. This has to do with entertainment, the next few. Early afternoon matinees have been long the way to save on movie tickets. But some theaters also offer discounts on evening shows playing on, say, Tuesday or Wednesday, charging as little as $5. You might even get a deal on popcorn. Buy lunch takeout for dinner. Restaurants often offer more food for less money at lunch. A lunch special may include, for example, a soup or salad and sides. Plan ahead and order takeout at lunchtime, then stick it in the refrigerator until the evening meal. Let a deal drive a vacation. Stay flexible about where you'd like to go and watch for specials. Travelzoo continuously features package deals to various destinations. Or stay flexible on timing. Sites such as Hopper let you set an alert for a specific destination, and you'll be notified when there is a deal. Well, folks, we have reached the end of our time today for this episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.